the methodology and the leadership and the creation of it is definitely very clearly something that actually helping all the enemies of Islam. And you know, it is very clear. We are already seeing the sort of havoc that has been created in Syria. And now we've seen it in Iraq and we see it elsewhere. These groups are instrumental to creating conflict, even to the extent that among their own Salafi, Takfiri elements, they're fighting one another, they're slaughtering one another, they're cutting each other's throat. There is no justification for this, except that these groups are actually set to create such a havoc that will destroy any possibility of a united front against the real enemies, those who actually have been creating problems like State of Israel and others who have actually created huge difficulty for all the Muslims and Middle East.
All right, stay with me, Mr. Shajar and Mr. Weiss. Let's gloss over and check out our Facebook page and what our viewers have said about this subject.
It is not the issue of Shias and Sunnis. It is time to stay united against Takfiris. Boko Haram and ISIL are all enemies of Islam. They are all terrorists supported by US and CIA, so why should they rescue Palestinians? Rescue Palestinians from what? They are among the safest Muslims in the Middle East. They are wild people fed by Saudis, USA and Israel. Hezbollah is the only group which protects Palestinians. They are not even in Iraq now, as it's not required. Hezbollah is a resistance group, not a terrorist one that kills innocent people. They are not Muslims. They are offsprings of Israel and America.
Mr. White, let's look at a few of the comments, especially the last one, basically saying that this group is not an Islamic one, but a creation of the United States and Israel. Your take on that, Mr. White? How likely is ISIL a creation of Washington and Tel Aviv?
Unlikely. What I had heard before, which I have no evidence, but it's just a counter argument, is that this was a creation, or at least a desire to create, of the Bashar Assad government in Syria. That they were faced with a moderate opposition that seemed to be gaining a lot of support in the West and other places. So they deliberately tried to concentrate their attacks and resistance against that and drive the resistance towards the extremes. So what they've, and it's worked partially in that the United States and other countries are now faced with, on the one hand, this intolerable and unacceptable extremist group that is very powerful among the opposition in Syria, and the Bashar Assad government, which the U.S. and other countries hold responsible for more than 100,000 deaths. So there's really no good outcome as far as the West is concerned, and that's been, until recently, limiting the inclination of the Western governments to become involved. And so, working backwards, people say this was actually a deliberate and successful strategy of the Syrian government to drive the resistance to the extreme, to make it unacceptable and deprive it of international support.
Your take on the comment, Mr. Shajada?
Well, I think this is really ridiculous. The reality is that all of us who have been looking at the situation in Syria, from outset, it was very clear that the opposition and this extreme group was there and they were present, and in reality, many observers, both Muslim and non-Muslim, have actually identified that this was really the only group which was causing military sort of problems for the Syrian government. But the reality was that the West wanted to ignore this extreme group who were killing not just Muslims, they were killing Christians, and this was a factual fact. But only the West has tried to sort of come out of illusion and say that, you know, this is now happening, because it's so clearly, you see it on the pages of YouTube, people's heart being opened up and bitten and shouting Allahu Akbar. No Muslim in the world will actually could endorse such action, let alone endorses according to Islamic values and principles. The reality is that these groups were created, supported, financed. These did not come out of the madrasas. These, you know, it's almost as lunatic to say that, you know, Taliban came out of sort of madrasas and suddenly sat behind the tanks and the jet fighters and start bombing in Afghanistan. These were supported, promoted, and you know, when you look at Saudi Arabia's role in this, you'll see their ulama sort of making a statement like Arafi saying that you should not fight against Saudi Arabia, Qatar and Israel, but you should go and fight in Syria. And then people like that being supported to go right the way through the United Kingdom and elsewhere, promoting this idea of sending people to jihad in Syria, and then they join these groups in thousands, and they're financed. And you know, then we turn around and say, blame the ordinary mosques for creation of these things, and we actually attack religiosity of Muslims as a basis for creation of these groups. These groups have got nothing to do with religiosity of Muslim community. These groups have been created, supported, and financed by outsiders of our religion for two reasons. One, to divide the community and Muslim community, and secondly is for creating such a bad image of Muslims as a whole, that, you know, a demonization of Muslims then it becomes more prominent and actually easier to promote. And that's why we are seeing such a backlash against Muslims in the Western world and rise of fascism.
What about that, Mr. White? So would this group, ISIL, would it even exist without the support of Washington, London, Riyadh?
I'm fairly confident, because I know this best, that there is no support for this group in Washington. And as one of the big restraints, and until recently has been limiting the Obama administration's active military support.
Let me just jump in here, sir. You said that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you said that for sure there's no support of Washington of this group. If we look at the setup, we start off in Syria and see how ISIL was promoted, how they were funded, and how they were armed. If it wasn't for Washington's support, would they really have been armed and so well equipped, ready to fight against the Syrian government?
The U.S. policy has been first not to provide anything other than moral support, then training and some weapons, but only to those groups that were seen to adopt a more moderate platform. And one of the restraints on the U.S. aid and training was a fear that if you, for example, gave weapons to what was considered in the West the moderate opposition, a group like ISIL would come in and seize the weapons from that group, and then they would have them. And that's been a major constraint, as I mentioned earlier, about Western involvement in the Syrian war, is that there's a concern you could get basically replace the current Assad government with perhaps something even worse, an al-Qaeda-linked regime. So that's why I think that this is something that's now is presented a major problem for U.S. policymaking.
Well, Mr. Chadjadeh, I saw you shaking your head with comments coming out of Washington. I want to look at it also. I'm going to get your reaction to our guests in Washington. And also, right now, though Washington appears that it is upset with the chaos, how likely is it that ISIL or ISIS is serving exactly the role that it appears that it was set up to do?
First of all, I think we need to recognize that there is a public position of United States and a private position of United States. The reality is that, you know, no amount of funding and weapons will go through to Syria without the support of United States. If anybody is in doubt, go and read and go to the sort of places like Jordan and Jordan and then actually see the setup of the CIA operations and the training and financing and arming these groups. These groups, you know, in today's sort of world, there's no way that they could shift this sort of financial support across the banking system and the infrastructure without at least the United States turning a blind eye and in reality, what I believe is actively supporting it. And you know, I think it really is ludicrous to think that this sort of support, which is leading to this sort of operation against Iraqi government, could be something that is accidental, or really 500, you know, people gathering from different around the places around the world and are able to manage without that sort of support. Look at the sort of statements coming from places like Saudi Arabia, and indeed from Israel, and indeed Nukons in the United States. There is no doubt that there is this support.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Chaudhry, but we are out of time. I appreciate both my guests being with us out of Washington, senior fellow Hudson Institute, Mr. Richard Weitz, and in Tehran, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Mr. Masoud Chaudhry. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us. And I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for the debate right here in Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us. See you next time.